Self-absorbed beer show from coast to coast and every once in a while in between.
Hey, I'm Dylan, brewer at Cape Ann Brewery, and you're listening to the Beer Coaster.
Hi, my name is Peter Zion. I'm the owner of Alesmith Brewing Company here in beautiful San Diego, and Beer Coasters rocks.
My name is Charles Finkel, and I'm the founder and the president of the Pike Brewing Company here in Seattle. I'm glad to be on the Beer Coaster.
Blah, 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 I want my beer, damn it!
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Beer Coasters Podcast, an entirely self-absorbed beer show devoted to bringing you the best and worst in mostly American craft beer from coast to coast and every once in a while in between. I'm your host this week. This is Mike from Boston. I know it's been a while, although it's the internet, so it could be a week from now or a month or 2 minutes if you're binging.
It'll probably be a month from now.
Yeah. Okay.
What episode is this, Mike?
This is episode 330?
Yeah. Yeah, 330.
Now, I'm not sure. Is this the last episode of Season 9 or the first episode of Season 10?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do...
We're doing, like, kind of a hybrid episode.
We could.
Finale.
We could to save...
Premiere.
We could to save space on the internet.
Pre-nally.
Yeah. Let's call this our season finale.
All right.
This is Toby in San Diego, California.
Oh, that's right.
And we have a third guy who's going to be here any minute.
He's late.
He'll introduce himself when he arrives.
If he still has a job.
Yeah. Because me and Mike do not. So.
But that's a whole nother podcast. Mike and Toby, out of work podcast.
There you go. The out of work beer drinkers.
Yeah. All right. So, interesting episode. We are going back to focusing on a specific kind of hop this episode, specifically Citra. This episode we're calling Citra Ass Down. And oddly enough, we found a beer by that name for our fermentation conversation. And it's Against the Grain's Citra Ass Down.
Yeah.
We also have a couple more. Toby, what do you have for your tasting flight this evening?
For my tasting flight, I am not doing local. I could do a local one, but I've decided to do a brewery that we kind of have had on the show before. This is, and I'll explain that in my tasting flight, but this is going to be the Guayabera from Cigar City Brewing Company. It's a Citra Pale Ale.
Wow. Cool, man.
What you got, Mike?
A lot of Cigar City stuff around here.
Yeah, I think we just recently started getting them out in San Diego.
Nice. I am going to try... Riverwalk Brewing Company's Citra Bus.
So hop on. Go for a ride.
Yeah, gonna hop on the bus.
Pay your fare!
And sit your ass down.
That's right. There you go. Sit your ass down on the bus. That's there you right. go. That's our
on,
show.
On the Citra Bus. And I'm not sure is, If this is written down correctly, I think Tony is going to join us sometime this evening with Five Churches Brewing Company. Of course, super local. You know how Tony rolls.
Yep.
It's Five Churches Brewing Peach One Wing.
Which I think is their... One Wing is their IPA, I think. So this is their peach, I think.
Peach IPA. We shall find out. All right, well...
And there might even be a special guest. Tony might bring along his fiancée, One Sniff Katie.
Huh.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. We'll see.
We'll see.
Oh, I see Tony logging on. All right. Hurry, hurry, crack it.
All right, so actually, without further ado here, if Tony logs on in the meantime, that's great. I'm going to go grab my beer, come back, and we'll get into this fermentation conversation.
All right. Hurry.
This is a fermentation conversation. Yeah.
Boom.
That's how Tony rolls, man. He does it live.
That's it.
Nice.
We're doing it live.
Doing it live.
Welcome, Tony. Say hi. Say hi to everybody.
Evening. Evening. Hello, everybody. How many
Evening,
washers?
America.
How many washers do we have?
Currently, zero.
Okay. Hi, everybody.
Hi, every nobody.
I'm watching.
Hey. I'm watching.
That's all I need.
I'm drinking.
That's all I need.
I'm drinking. And watching. And watching.
All right. Let's crack this beer. What is this? What are we drinking here?
I forgot to have my window up for it, but it's...
All right, I got it.
Against the Grain Brewery.
Oh, yep. You got it? Oh, man.
You got it.
Oh, I missed out completely. Go ahead. Sorry, I'm interrupting. I'm coming in the show late, and now I'm interrupting.
Yep.
Oh, you were asking if we got... I thought you were, like, if you got it, like, Toby was gonna... I got all confused there for a second.
I cracked it, and I'm pouring.
Oh, wow. All right.
I'm thirsty.
You're not messing around. I'm gonna crack it, too. It's Against the Grain, Sit Your Ass Down, the show's namesake. And it is a double IPA from... Louisville, Kentucky.
There you go. And it's a...
We don't get a...
New brewery!
Nice. Yeah, we don't get a lot of beers from Kentucky around these parts, do we?
I think
from
this
around
is a
here.
State!
Kentucky? No.
This is a double IPA. 8.
Oh, like KBS.
8.2%.
Oh, yeah.
And it's telling me to drink it from the can, but I'm not gonna follow the rules here. I'm gonna actually put it in
those,
a bath.
Those are rules that we will gladly break.
Yes.
Since so when do the rules apply to Mike?
Really? Yeah.
Really.
Rules.
So this is brewed with pale Vienna, Munich, and wheat malt.
Wheat.
And it's a single hop Citra, obviously. What we're doing here.
This is single, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Focusing mainly on the variety Citra. It was bred as a hybrid of a number of different hops, including the Holler Tower Middelfrüh, the U.S. Tetnanger, East Kent Golding, Bavarian, Brewer's Gold, and other unknown hops.
I feel like every time we say Tetnanger, we have to have, like, a ricochet bullet sound.
Yeah. This is 8.2% ABV.
Yes.
It's a double IPA.
It's a doubler.
68 IBUs.
I'm trying to understand what this guy's doing. He has, like, a mace, and he's trying to... is he trying to kill an emu?
There is an emu.
It's an interesting label.
Yeah. The artist is RobbieDavis.com. So if you want to look up
strange name,
RobbieDavis.com.
Lastname.com. Very convenient marketing-wise, I guess, but strange last name.
So color, it's a very, like, copper-orange color.
Yeah, it's pretty.
Yeah, very clear.
like the amber in that Jurassic
Park. Yeah, it is pretty
there.
Clear. Wow.
Luckily, there's no mosquito in there in the middle of there. But
I started off with about
DNA.
I started off with about a human finger of head, and now I've just got kind of like a little thick film.
Morbid. A human finger of head.
It's got some decent lacing happening too. That's nice.
Yeah, I got pinky finger now, but it's hanging out. It's soapy, a little fluffy.
Mm-hmm. On the news,
it's fruity. It's got it has a sweet malt smell as well as the citrusy fruit.
Yeah, I can definitely pick up on that grainy maltiness. Yeah,
like a sweet cereal, right?
Yeah, totally. And then the like orange peel.
Almost like orange juice and Honey Nut Cheerios. not a good combination to have together, though.
Yeah.
But we've all been there at least nice once, together. Though.
Yeah.
You know?
For sure.
We've all been there, like, you have the bowl of cereal, you're like, ah, oh, man, I threw poured
Not
orange juice
again.
In
But yeah, that's kind of like big malty nose and big citrus orange.
Yeah. It smells like it's going to be, it's funny to, you know, it smells like it's going to have a, like a heavier mouth feel, like a, you know, that's what it smells like. That sweet maltiness makes me think that's going to have, like, a solid body to it, you know?
Right.
Let's take a sip and find out.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Taking a sip, yeah!
A little candy-like.
Yeah, it is a little bit sweet.
It smelled a little sweet, right?
Yeah. But it starts off with that kind of earthy, grainy something, and then it turns into this, like, sweet orange kind of candy. It reminds me, the maltiness reminds me of, like, I know I always go this route, the Pacific Northwest type, like, Anderson Valley.
It does have kind of an earthiness. It's a little bit sweeter, smoother.
But there is still this interesting little kind of like a sharp, a quick, sharp little grainy, almost like a husk. I don't know if that makes any sense.
You said husk, and it's funny because I took a sip. It's like, man, I feel like this is like someone has some tree bark steeping in this beer or something, you know, like it has something on the tongue that kind of,
maybe that's that wheat malt.
It's not quite woody, but there's something about that maltiness that, just definitely tastes more earthy. You can feel it on the tongue,
but it's just up front. And then the sweetness takes over. And that's what you're left with is kind of a smooth sweetness aftertaste.
I was kind of hoping it would dry up a little bit more.
Yeah, it's definitely missing, if that's what you're looking for, but yeah, it's definitely missing any kind of, like, dry finish.
Yeah. What do you want to pair with this?
Nothing too sweet. I think maybe something spicy. Maybe, like, even like a spicy pulled pork, or maybe Korean barbecue, maybe something like that. Maybe
the Korean barbecue,
but I think Korean might be a little too sweet.
Because you got that, there's a sweetness in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how spicy I would go, just because it's not a regular double IPA, you know what I mean? Like, you're not getting the same amount of bitterness that you normally would, that would allow to have more spicy foods. But Korean barbecue is a pretty good choice. Have you ever had, like, a Thai
spicy fried rice, you know, it's like really heavy with basil. You know,
yeah.
Get that kind of spiciness. Maybe something like that. It's tough, though. You almost have to try because you're not sure how the basil would play with the sweeter, malty flavors. But I'm going to go with that, like a spicy Thai fried rice.
Nice.
It's Let's interesting, see. Though. If someone gave it to me, I don't know if I would guess that it was a double IPA. You know, if I'm judging it, which...
Mm-hmm. Which you are, to do. Kind of, right?
Yeah, I got my judgy pants on.
You got pants on?
Unfortunately, I do. Well, fortunately for you folks.
Little chilly out there still?
Oh. You caught me in a lie. I was wearing no pants.
You got some ratings on this? I got some ratings. You got ratings,
Mike? Oh, you mean like untapped ratings. So I was going to be like, you got to wait for my ratings to the last call. Yeah, let's see. What do we got here? We have 58,894 ratings for this beer. It's a 3.94. And let's see. The
3.94, that's pretty good.
As of popular locations here, the JBBC in Hummelstown, Pennsylvania. Also, the Kentucky Kingdom in Louisville, Kentucky. And the Blue Holler in Bowling Green, Kentucky.
Nice.
Yeah. There you have it, folks.
It says, a similar beer is Resin from Six Point.
That's interesting. I think Resin would definitely be higher in the bitterness category. I'd love to try them.
That's a throwback,
though.
I haven't had Resin in a long time.
Yeah.
We did Resin on the show, I think.
Yeah, we've done a couple Six Point.
And now we've done the Bengali Tiger.
Yes.
Right.
Don't anger the tiger.
I believe we did Resin on the Beer Coasters IP April double IPA issue back in April of 2013. IP April, I missed that. We should do that again next year.
Yeah, next year. I was going to say, we missed it. That's right.
We missed. I think we took April off. I don't know.
Maybe.
Every other month we take off from this show, you know. It's hard work.
Yeah, we're getting old. We're getting close to retirement now.
It's hard work when you're doing, you know, nude theater.
Yeah.
I see what you did there.
Oh, the things I know about this guy.
I know. Right. Mike, you're lucky you missed last week. So we
yeah.
Disgust.
But we got to
meet a lot of things.
We got to meet one sniff Katie, so.
Yes. Who is not going to be on the show tonight, unfortunately.
Yeah. A little late. Well, there you have it, folks. That's the Citra Ass Down from
Against the Grain. In Kentucky. Kentucky Brewery.
ATGBrewery.com is their website.
Nice. And they have some interesting labels. All of them. Kind of cool. This is an interesting one, though. As far as double IPAs go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to need the rest of the show to figure this one out for my rating. So.
All right. Me too.
Cool. Then we'll be back with some more beer, yeah?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, up next, from Hartford, Connecticut, tasting his beer right here on the Beer Coasters Podcast, we've got the very talented, let's give it up for Tony Leone, yes.
Hello, and welcome to my tasting flight. This is Tony from Hartford, Connecticut. Thanks for starting the show without me, gentlemen?
Sure.
Anytime.
Did we start the show? Or are we going to go back and do that, fix that in post?
Maybe you know, there's been a few shows that we've done in the past couple of months we just didn't tell you about.
Apparently we didn't tell our audiences either, because I don't think I've heard
Yeah, because they're not tuning in either, so. Do you still have those two viewers?
Ah, the two viewers are back.
Yeah, welcome back.
Welcome back.
Both of you.
Welcome
It's been
back.
A while. I'm going to be drinking the Mischief IPA from Bad Sons Brewing Company.
It's like some kind of artichoke on his head.
I was telling Mike, I was like, I kind of like their logo, but now that I look at it, it looks like something very like motocross or like, was it like that? Remember the Bad Boy Club? I think they're still around,
yeah.
Actually.
And the same thing with like the energy drink company style, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. So you could probably sit in a parking lot and drink that, and security cops rolled by, they think you're drinking an energy drink.
Energy drink. You know, the thing is that I like about it is that a lot of places will have like cool font for like their, you know, the beer names or whatever their company's called. But anyone in Connecticut is seen with, you know, that logo, they know exactly what you're drinking. So good on them for making very recognizable logo.
I like how they just play completely off the logo. Like they all just have the giant logo on the can, but it's all done a little differently. So you know it's a different beer.
Exactly.
That's kind of cool.
So this is Bad Sons Beer Company. I've
and
never
for
had
our
them
wait,
before.
Wait, for our true listeners, I do want to say that I know that it's not an artichoke on his head. I do realize that it's a hop. I don't want you to think that a complete moron. At least not completely.
It's okay. They have 329 other episodes to listen to judge you to
really know that I am a moron. We'll go back and listen
and we're
to
back
my
to the
monster rant.
Bad Sons Beer Company out of Derby, Connecticut, down in the valley, for those that are from Connecticut or from the area. They've been brewing since July 2017. They have a strong focus on... way back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're almost celebrating their one-year anniversary, so congrats, guys.
Noobs.
A strong focus on East Coast and New England-style ales. They're calling it Bad Sons Beer Company is badass beer for good-ass people. Their website is badsons.com. I'm going to throw in the Instagram is at badsonsbeer because, hey, these kids these days are all on the gram. So might as well drop the Instagram name if they have it.
Sure.
So I am, again, reminder, 20 minutes ago
I
started this tasting flow.
I don't know how to spell, but I know my Instagrammer.
Hey, it's only been 3 minutes. Come on, buddy.
Okay, 3 minutes. The Mischief IPA clocks in at 6.6% with 66 IBUs. Ooh. Is it a American IPA?
American.
I love it how they do that. 6.6. 66 IBUs.
666.
How do they get such precision?
They got it down to a science, man. Science from the devil!
Shout from the devil! All right.
Whoa. That's a big glass.
It's a big old glass. It's very carbonated. A lot of bubbles. A lot of almost like soda kind of bubbles. It looks like ginger ale. Got some nice...
Oh, I forgot. Did we ask how you knew this was Citra?
Oh. I'm so glad you asked. They use 3 pounds of Citra hops per barrel.
Oh, okay. There you go.
With a big Columbus hop backbone, which brings the noise.
That's interesting. My beer, I think on my tasting plate, has Citra and Columbus as well, hence the Citra bus name.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, it's looking kind of like ginger ale. Very clear.
Very effervescent.
Lots of bubbles. Had some soapy lacing on the outside here. On the nose. A lot of citrus. Maybe some orange. Maybe some, I don't know. Pineapple. Maybe some grassiness. I don't know.
This is already like a 400 plus percent increase of sniffs compared to Katie. I just want to put that out there.
That's easy. Just keep multiplying every time I go in. Yeah.
500. Jeez.
That's crazy. You know, I wonder what the characteristics of the Columbus hop, because I think that's what I'm getting right now, because you have the citrus from the Citra hop. The
Citrus.
Like pineapple, orange, like bright fruit, but there's something else that's going on there. All right. We've seen it. We've smelt it. Let's taste it.
Taking a sip, yeah!
Lots of bubbles. Very lemony on the mouthfeel.
Mm.
Yeah, some... A lot of orange characteristics, too. Lemon, orange. Maybe a hint of, like papaya or, like, mango on the mouthfeel.
Tony, can I jump in with some weird, interesting facts on the Columbus hop?
By all means.
So this comes from brew-dudes.com. Originally, the Columbus hop was bred in the USA by Hop Union. And I guess they've patented it. Columbus hops are now patented and owned by a joint venture between Mr. Zimmerman and Hop Union. They mended their relationship, and YC still gets to sell Tomahawk hops. So I guess Tomahawk was the original, like it's another name that Columbus goes by.
Okay.
Well, the Columbus usually they call it like CTZ or something.
Well, there's the CTZ, yeah. The Columbus Tomahawk Zeus. Yeah. So they're all pretty similar, but I guess the Columbus hop itself is patented.
Ah.
And you should get earthy, spicy, and some citrus overtones on the nose.
All right. Huh. So the connection is the citrus. So that...
Yeah.
Other unidentifiable smell and kind of taste a little bit is that earthiness. All right.
And originally from... Are they like hybrids or something of the Nugget? Like Nugget was like the original hop that they kind of took to create Columbus?
It doesn't say here. It just says it came by way of Tomahawk out of the Yakima Valley. That's according to Brew Dudes.
Well, that's like a page out of the Beer Jargon Guy's book.
I know. I totally stole Beer Jargon Guy's job just now. Yeah. But sorry, Beer Jargon Guy.
I mean, I hear he's looking for work these days too. So.
Yeah. I heard he's on like on holiday.
Permanent
studying cheetahs on the Serengeti Plain or something. I don't know. He wanted just a complete change of things for a little while, so yeah, he's a bit of a hiatus.
One thing I'll say is that it's got a nice clean finish. It mentioned this, the Columbus is that backbone with a bitter finish. I'm not getting too much of a bitter finish. I get a lot of citrus and I get a little bit of earthiness, but I think it's fairly clean. As far as food pairings go, it'd be a great. I'm gonna go like a burger with just like a nice old American cheeseburger.
American.
Cheese, maybe some barbecue sauce, and actually no, scratch that. I'm gonna pair it with
on there.
This pizza. This pizza that I had a couple days ago from pizza.
Oh, okay.
What'd you think he said?
It sounded different to me.
It's that Connecticut accent, you know. It's tough. So this pizza that I had the other day from Five Churches Brewing, we'll save that for another episode, but the pizza had hot dogs, french fries,
no,
hot sauce, mustard, and relish.
Wow.
I'm going to pair that pizza with this beer.
Wow.
There we go.
That sounds like a ballpark pizza right there.
I have no idea why the pizza tasted so delicious, but there's a lot of things going.
You have no idea.
It worked. I would never have thought to put those ingredients on a pizza, but it worked.
No, definitely not. But hey.
Hey.
That's America.
Yeah.
Can't get much more American than hot dogs and french fries
on
your pizza.
On a
yeah.
So,
oh, man.
This is Bad Sons Beer Company, the Mischief IPA. I'll give you some ratings here. On Untappd, we're looking at a 1,224 check-ins. Oh, we're doing a check-ins. We do ratings. 963 ratings. It clocks in at a 3.77.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, right. That's
good. Bad Sons Beer Company, Mischief IPA.
And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
What's up, y'all? This is Toby out west.
Yeah.
But I'm not doing a West Coast beer.
What?
Nope. I'm doing an East Coast beer. Actually, specifically from Florida?
Yep. The penis yep. of America.
Tampa, Florida. This is Cigar City Brewing. This is their Guayabera. I said it wrong in the intro of the show. I said Guayabera. Very white boy of me.
Mm. I thought it was like guava something. So no, I completely messed it up.
It's Guayabera. That's how you pronounce it. And that's those shirts. I used to call them the Filipino barber shirts.
But I had a couple of those when I lived down in South Florida.
I used to have
in Miami.
Yeah, I used to have one. It was dark blue. It's pretty sweet. It's got the four pockets and the embroidery down the side. Yeah.
There you go.
So Cigar City Brewing, Tampa, Florida. This is their Guayabera. It's a Citra Pale Ale. It comes in a can. It's a 12-ounce can. Now there's something about Cigar City. I want to say that they are now owned by a holdings company. Any listener can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe like a couple years ago they teamed up with somebody, or no, somebody bought them. I think, who was it? Some other, like Avery, no, it was Avery and Cigar City teamed up and were bought by a holdings company or something like that.
Hmm.
Something like that. I heard that not too long ago. But anyway, it's probably something you won't be able to find on their website. You'd have to do some
like
searching around.
That kind of stuff's not advertised that well.
Right.
Oscar Blues acquires Cigar City Brewing.
Oscar Blues. Okay. So it's not what I was thinking. Same kind of thing that Green Flash, poor guys having all this financial troubles, they bought Alpine Beer here in San Diego. So it was kind of a local company buying a local company to help with production and stuff like that. But this is interesting that it's, who would you say it was?
Oscar Blues,
who are out of Colorado, somehow ended up buying Cigar City. Didn't think that Cigar City would have any trouble. They seem to be one of those like pretty sought after.
I always thought, at least it seemed like, when they talked about breweries down south, that they couldn't keep up with the demand to actually distribute any further. So they were, I always was under the impression they were selling, you know, everything they made, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I always had a hard time finding Cigar City, so anytime I was on vacation in Atlanta or Florida, and you found Cigar City, or even New York, you'd snag it. But now, maybe with Oscar Blues, because you see Oscar Blues a lot more around. They're probably using them to help, like, the distribution.
Right. Well, you could get Alpine out where you were, right, Tony?
I can get it up here now.
Yeah, because of Green Flash, because they had their, Virginia Beach facility, which I think is closed now.
Oh, okay.
So you guys won't be seeing Alpine or Green Flash, because I think they've cut down their distribution to like 13 states now. I think they used to be in all 50, but now they're down to 13. It's pretty sad thing that happened. They kind of got a little ahead of themselves.
Yeah.
Took out a loan that they couldn't pay back.
Yeah.
And thought they were cooler than they are. But anyway, this is, like I said, Guayabera Citra Pale. I'm going to crack it. Packed with Citra hops. Whoa. It's, let's see. You can see here. Pour that for you, guys. A little beer pouring for you.
Toby, I got to say, I like you bringing back the pint glasses.
Yeah?
You don't see a lot of pint glasses. It's always like a wine glass or a bulbous glass of some sort. Bringing back the...
Well, nice. Honestly, it was all the ones I had that were clean.
Yeah.
Because I had a barbecue yesterday, and people were brought over growlers and stuff.
So
and
like, oh, we're going to use all Toby's good glasses.
So all my good glasses are in the dishwasher right now. But hey, you can't talk smack about a Sierra Nevada Celebration pint glass. So.
That's right.
Comes in at 5.5% ABV, 50 IBUs. Let's see. Citra hops. I don't see anything about what malts they used. This is one of their core year-round beers. Comes in six packs.
I'm trying to think what I've had from them. And I remember one of the beer... the beer bloggers conferences, I had something from them. And then I think I've had a collaboration with them in another brewery, but I can't remember what they were.
So on the pour, it's a very, like, kind of a pale orange color. It's a little cloudy, might be chill haze. I've got a solid human finger, a very foamy head. It's hanging out. On the nose, lots of like peel, orange peel, lemon peel.
Jordan Peel.
Is that a basketball player?
Keenan and Peel.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Keenan Peel. Yeah, it has very, like, what do you call it? Zesty. Did you like that move right there?
Yeah.
Zesty.
That's zesty.
That's how I zest. Yeah, it's zesty, very, like,
zesty.
Citrus zest. Not very, like, sweet-smelling. It almost has, like, a dry zest aroma, which is interesting. Maybe a little floral. And even maybe herbally and spicy. Okay. Yeah. It's an herbal.
Let's get that right nostril herbal.
Yes.
Sensation.
The right nostril herbal. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. All right, I'm gonna take a sip.
Taking a sip, yeah.
I gotta say, I don't do a whole lot of pale ales nowadays. I do have some Alesmith Pale 394, which is amazing. That's a little different, though, for your typical pale, because it's very hop-forward and fruity and everything. Amazing. This one, it is kind of...
This one is not that.
It's kind of... it's dry.
It's the opposite of amazing.
It's dry, and there is still that kind of orange peel, and now I'm getting some actual, like, orange, but it's more of like the membrane, like almost like membrane from grapefruit. so it's not super. You know what I'm talking about? Like the vein.
The pulp?
Not pulp, but like the thick, meaty stuff that's not the fruit. That like the veins that are in the. Like if you're eating grapefruit and you just eat. Yep. If you don't eat just the chunks of.
I think it's still pulp though, right?
Well, the thick white membrane that's. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about. Yep. Yeah. It's like. That's kind of. So it's not strong. It's this mild kind of. Very, very subtle citrusy flavor with some little bit of herbal, but I kind of get a little bit of that like orange candy that we got from the Citra Ass Down. Mm-hmm. A little bit, but this one definitely finishes drier and it's obviously a lot lighter than the double that we had, because this is just a pale, but it has a certain kind of clean crispness. It's not bad.
You know, I don't know if it's what it's like out on the West Coast, but I feel like a lot of New England styles are coming out with IPA this and IPA that and try this, which is great. There's so many IPAs, there's so many hops to showcase different blends and one hop or two hop, three hop, whatever. But the next surge, I think, is going to be like pale ales, lagers, things that are easy drinking, just local options that are kind of like a pilsner option or a lager of some sort that is local and easy to drink. I think that might be the next push.
Yeah, I've already started seeing. Well, I still see every brewery that I go to now definitely has a hazy IPA. And I see a lot of it in cans now too, local stuff. They're canning these
hazy IPAs. It's New England IPAs, those hazy kinds.
So yeah.
Okay. I'm already seeing that where it's like Cascadian Dark Ale kind of thing where they don't want to call it the other name.
Yeah. And I'm also seeing a lot more like new pilsners, and then you have like the big, you know, collaborations with like bands and breweries. Alesmith has the Sublime one that's a Mexican lager, and I think that's another one, Tony, is the Mexican lager, especially here in Southern California. I have seen in San Diego at least that there's been this like surge of Mexican lagers and pilsners and a lot of hazy IPAs, New England style IPAs. Sorry, I think I need to go back to my tasting flight here. I'll edit that in post.
There is some great food in that area too though, because the Dumpling Inn is fantastic, and that's like right across the street from O'Brien's. Like the best dumplings ever.
There's a brewery around here called Alvarium, which is in New Britain, and they have a lager, but it's called Crunchy Roll because it's a rice lager.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
The rice lager. It's Asian, right? It's Anheuser-Busch.
That's fine.
Oh, no, that's corn. Sorry, that's corn.
Well, they had actually one of the best pilsners I've tried before is called The Mule, and it was a corn lager by Ipswich, the guy's...
you had that on the show.
Notch, yeah. It's great, you know? And I'm not a big fan of lagers and pilsners. There's, you know, I could probably count the ones that I like on one hand, but this one in particular was really well done. They used corn to kind of, enhance the flavor as opposed to just, you know, thin it out and use it as a filler, you know?
Thanks.
Back in January of 2015 on the Animales 2 show, Mike had the Mule from Notch Brewing.
Nice.
You can find that by going to beercoasterspodcast.com and get to the Animales show? Because it's like slash journal, slash 2015, slash 1, slash 30.
No. Just search Animales.
Just search. Use our awesome search bar there. And
awesome.
Look for the mule and you'll find it. Animales 2.
Back to Tasting Flight.
For my food pairing with this guayabera, I could stick with a Latin theme here since I'm doing this racially driven thing here. I could stick with Latin. So I don't know much about like Cuban food. I've never had Cuban food.
It's good stuff.
But I think that this would go great with some street tacos. Like carne asada street tacos with cilantro and a little bit of salsa in there. Nothing too crazy, but even maybe some fish tacos or something, or a burrito. But I think this would go great with Mexican food. So, there you go. Specifically street tacos.
All right.
Cigar City Brewing, Guayabera. And their website is... CigarCityBrewing.com.
.com.
And on Untappd, the Guayabera comes in at a whopping 3.81 out of 40,417 ratings. Top three popular locations: the Burgatory in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Sweet Fort in New River, Arizona, and 34th Main Street Fest, a craft brew experience in Grapevine, Texas.
Cool beans.
So there you go, folks. This is Toby out in San Diego. That was the Cigar City Brewing Guayabera Citra Pale Ale for our Citra Ass Down show.
Y'all come back now, yeah.
Up
the
next,
one beer that I could find on Untappd from Cigar City that I've tried is the Hanapu's Imperial Stout.
That's a whole other discussion. They have like Hunapu Day, or Hunapu, however you say it.
Yeah, I don't know how to say it. Hunapu.
It's like their one day a year they do this release, and I think they...
It's like Dark Lord Day or something?
Yeah, they started doing it, excuse me, and then they stopped doing it because like fights would break out in line because... People wanted to get all these bottles, and it got ugly. And I think there was like someone posted a fight that had happened, and they said they immediately stopped it. But I think they may have brought it back. I don't know.
Oh, I didn't know.
Damn Floridians!
It just ended up at one of the. I'm sure it must have been at the. At one of the beer conferences.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
But it was pretty freaking amazing.
Yeah, I do have a bottle downstairs that will be of Cigar City Hunapu Revenge. Is that what it is? The Imperial Stout?
Yeah, this one doesn't say Revenge, but maybe it's Imperial another Stout. Variation of it. I don't know.
That'll be enjoyed at the Bachelor Party weekend.
Nice.
Nice.
So I did mention in the intro of the show that we have sort of had Cigar City before on the show. And that was because I had the Hurata, which was a collaboration with Coronado Brewing here in San Diego and Cigar City.
Okay.
See, I've had a collaboration with them as well, but I that's not coming up on Untappd. But I'm telling you, I'm loving this new Untappd. I don't know how new it is, but I've never used their search tool like this. It's pretty cool. You could search the beers you've had by brewery or date or style or...
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Very nice.
All right, well, there you have it, folks. Up next, we've got Beer Coaster Mike.
Yay! The hostess with the mostess.
Back east, we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to my tasting flight. This is Beer Coaster Mike. Last but not least, in this week's episode of Citra Ass Down on the bus and have beer. something like that. I don't know. We'll figure out the title later. The beer I'm going to try is from Riverwalk Brewing Company out of Newburyport, Massachusetts. And the beer that I'm trying is the Citrabus. The name comes from them using Citra hops as well as Columbus. This is a pale ale. The ABV on this beer is a 4.9. So it would be, what do the young folks say now? This would be crushable.
For sure.
Something like that.
They say it's lit. That's what they say. Beer's lit.
And holy crap, is it light. Wait till you see this, guys. Their Citrus. Website is riverwalkbrewing.com.
Oh. Whoa. The hell was that?
That was me doing a drum roll.
It's yellow. It is so yellow.
Busy yellow.
See, Mike's got the pint glass.
He is rocking the pint glass, man.
Alaskan Brewing Company.
I think it's just you, Tony.
I know.
This is
they're in the back of the shelf.
Courtesy of Crazy Dave. I did a rod trail.
Nice.
So it is yellow. So yellow. It's crazy. It looks like lemonade. I got like a pinky finger. I've had about half a pinky finger dissipating, but it's a little bit soapy on the top. I can smell lemon before I even get close, you know, too close to the glass. I can just, lemon is just kind of permeating this whole area. It smells a little bit like a lemony cough drop. There's something kind of malty and medicinal about the lemon aroma. Oof.
You don't want to use that word. Medicinal?
Well, beer is my medicine.
All right, touche.
I definitely do enough self-medication. It's a particular type of cough drop that I'm thinking of, but it's like a very, like a lemon,
like a Halls?
Malty, mentholitis kind of, a little bit piney. Ooh. Yeah, there's like a piney spiciness.
Like Ricola?
Ricola!
No.
That is not it.
Oh, wow. You lose. You get
this
nothing.
It's like honey and lemon. Some pine.
Very.
I like the smell. I'll tell you that. Kind of it's a very pleasing aroma. Kind of a very, like, bright lemoniness that kind of wakes up your senses a bit.
Taking a sip, yeah!
Quite hoppy.
Whopping.
It's got,
Is it jacked up?
I don't know.
Is there a jacked up flavor profile?
Someone's been reading the marketing speak. It has a... I mean, quite a bit of hops for a pale ale. It's a, it's bitter. It's bitter, but still lemony. It's got a really kind of refreshing taste to it. You want to take another sip. It's kind of light. But, I mean, there's a lot of hops in there. I think they're just trying to... It's a beer that kind of showcases the two hops. There's not much in the way of anything else. Hmm. Malty, lemon. I'm trying to think of what I would pair with this. I think some lamb.
Hmm.
Like some lamb shanks, some... maybe a little bit of mint. Might go pretty well with something like this. Maybe some Yukon gold potatoes.
Mm.
I mean, it did say that it would pair well with a fancy dinner. So
that's about as fancy as I get.
You and
it's
your
a different
your
kind of meat and potatoes.
Your lamb shanks and your mint jelly.
Looks like blitz. These guys are only available in New England.
Huh. Oh, yeah. They don't distribute outside of New England.
Nope. They go as far south as Rhode Island, and that's it.
Huh.
And as far north as Maine.
Yeah, that's New England.
Banger.
And I see that they are a part of the Massachusetts Brewers Guild, where my cousin is the executive director.
Huh.
You don't say.
Yeah, she is on the backyard beer tasting.
Oh, that's right.
That I sent you.
Katie, the other Katie.
Other Katie, Katie Oliveri.
It's the Katie that I got really, yeah, I got the Katie's confused, I think.
Now, if he was in Kentucky.
Right.
And he was marrying
right.
Katie.
He was marrying Katie. I would have thought nothing of it.
I apologize to all our Kentucky listeners.
Yeah, we're in trouble now. First it's racism, now it's... okay. So, the ratings here. 1,020 ratings.
Wow.
3.69. Not too shabby. I didn't mention this beer is 45 IBUs. I don't think I mentioned that. Popular places to drink this beverage is nowhere. No, there's one popular location. It's the Sixth Gear Cask and Kitchen in Boston, Massachusetts.
Nice.
Sixth Gear?
Sixth Gear.
You been there?
You know what? I have not.
Have you heard of it?
I have not. New American restaurant, wine bar, and cocktail bar. No, doesn't look like my...
Sounds like a hipster joint anyways.
Yeah.
Sixth Gear.
I bet you they have lamb shanks and Yukon gold. Okay.
Very
so there you have it, folks. My Riverwalk... only available in New England, Citra Bus.
Hop on!
Hop on board and sit y'all
get
ass
on
down.
The bus.
All right, everybody, last call!
Last call.
So no bonus mic, bonus beer mic this week?
No, I do have a little extra time on my hands, so who knows? Maybe you'll actually get a backyard beer tasting out of me.
That would be a good excuse is to do a backyard beer tasting.
Me in the back porch with Stacy's mom. What do you think?
Yeah, there you go.
He's got it going on.
So last call. We're gonna do our ratings here. Toby, I believe you are up first with our fermentation conversation beer. The Citra Ass.
Damn!
What you think?
Shut
up! I'll say, before you start, that my second series of sipping, after it's warmed up a bit, were quite a bit different. But
yeah. Go ahead. I just had a quick sip, and yes, it is different. I'm actually seeing some sediment.
Had a member berry sip.
There's some sediment floating around in the bottom. Wow. Is that from South Park?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Citra ass down. against the grain. So upon taking another sip here, just before getting my rating, it thickened up a little bit, and it got a little more, like, a little bit more mouthfeel. But there's this harsh kind of something in the back of the throat, which reminds me that, okay, this is a double. Because before, I know, Mike, I agreed with you before, you were like, I wouldn't really say this is a double. But now, I feel like having time to maybe warm up a little bit, it does definitely feel a little bit more like a double. So it's a little bit more syrupy, but that might be because it's a little less carbonated at this point. But it's pretty tasty, and I don't regret spending $15 on a 4-pack. So I'm going to give it a 4. I kind of dig it. It's good. It's good.
You paid, great. $15?
$15 for a 4-pack of the 1-pint cans.
I paid $12.99.
Oh my god.
I win.
So, four pints. I dig it. I'd get it again. It's not bad. It's a little different, you know, than the typical double IPAs that I'm used to down here in San Diego, but...
You kind of go a little against the grain.
Yeah.
Sorry.
See, you did that. Okay.
Cigar sitting Guayabera.
Guayabera.
This one... I can see how it would turn some newbies off, like people that are just getting into craft beer and they see that it's a pale ale. I would not recommend this to a person that's experimenting with craft beer, because
not the gateway.
No, it's along the lines of Sierra Nevada pale ale. It has that kind of dirty, malty, a little bit of harshness. It's but yet it's still kind of clean, if that makes any sense. I think it's drinkable, but it is kind of a little bit more on the earthy, spicy side.
Gotcha.
With a little bit of like a fruity floral nose. So it smells really good, but yeah, it does have a little bit of a harshness for a pale ale. But it's not bad. I would put it along the lines of Sierra Nevada, though. So, I'll give it a 4. I dig it.
Why don't you throw in the last fancy beer that you've had in the last, like, maybe 2 weeks or so? Like, something that jumped out at you.
Ah, yes. Something that I was impressed by. Let me see if I can add any 5-piners down here. Well, I did like the Hopster Pot from Thorn Brewing here in San Diego. It's their hazy IPA. It's their New England style IPA. And I gave it a 4.5 on Untappd. And it's just, I got it in a mix pack at Costco. It was amazing. So... yeah, there you go, Hopster Pot. I was thinking of doing it as a backyard beer tasting, so we might see a more in-depth review of that soon. So,
cool.
Yeah. What about you, Tony?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
I had the Bad Sons Brewing, Bad Sons Beer Company Mischief IPA, and I'm really enjoying the state that Connecticut beer is in right now. You know, you have, when I think back to about like
Connecticut,
because I'm in Connecticut, you think back to like
10, and you are the official unofficial Connecticut beer guy, right?
Something like that.
Beer representative or something like that.
We'll go with that. Yeah,
the unofficial official Connecticut beer representative.
And you know, Bad Sons hasn't been open a full year yet, and one of the things that they did, actually not Bad, Bad Sons was a part of it, but, and I definitely want to try this at some point with some of my beer buddies, but they did a blind beer tasting at a local event down at the Blind Rhino in Norwalk, and it's a very cool idea, great concept, because, you know, you guys know that I've always been into the pumpkin ale tastings, and you guys have a porter challenge there. Kind of a fun thing, so you get a bunch of friends together and you say, we're doing a style, and you don't even tell them what style, but like everyone kind of provides like a certain something, and you don't know what everyone's gonna bring. Maybe like if Toby, if you're gonna run it, like you know what everyone's gonna bring, but then even you like figure out some sort of like next step where you can kind of confuse yourself, or you know the beers that you're drinking, and yet you don't know what you're voting on. So what they did down at the Blind Rhino is the IPAs, and they said it's gonna, you know, they charge tickets for it, and you get a opaque cup, like, so there's red and there's like yellow and green and blue, so you don't even see the beer, and you're allowed 12 tastings, and you don't know what 12 tastings you're gonna get. So you try them, and then you say, you know what? And they hand you three like poker chips, and they say, okay, which ones do you want to vote on? And so you don't know the breweries that are involved, and you don't know, you know, because there's no biases whatsoever. And you can't even see the beer. So technically, if like one's hazy or one's clear, you're like, oh man, this one's hazy. This one's gonna be juicier. This one's clear. It's gonna be clean and filtered. You're just going on smell and taste. And like finish. So you say, oh, I want to put like these two chips into the blue cup, or like I'm gonna go purple and green and red and just whatever. Not this beer in particular, but Bad Sons, not sure which one, ended up being, I think, second place in this blind beer tasting of 12 different beers where you didn't know the brewery, or you didn't know which one of the, even the breweries, even one of the beers that they, because obviously breweries will make like more than one IPA. And it's just a cool concept. It's a blind tasting, like no biases whatsoever, but it's fun.
Oh, you can kind of figure out. I would love that for, like, if the BJCP judges had to do that.
Yeah.
You know, I think that would, I don't want to badmouth, you know, because I really don't know what goes on, but I think there's like a subconscious level of bias there if you know the brewery and the beer, you know. If that's taken out of the equation, I can really think it would make a big difference.
Right. Like, if you were doing a tasting with some friends, and let's say, like, if Toby, if you knew all the breweries involved, well, then you have a friend go in and, like, switch them all up. So then
he
has, like, the decoder ring that says, like, oh, actually, red is this and green is that. So what you think is what you're drinking is not what you're drinking. And then you're voting blind, too.
Right.
A cool concept for anyone out there that wants to give a try. So these guys were involved with that. You know, Connecticut Beer did an event down there, and it was really cool. When Bad Sons first opened up, I heard the brewery was beautiful, and I heard they were kind of still figuring out their styles. But after listening to that episode, actually, I'll give a quick shout out to Full Pours Radio. They do a podcast as well that I've been listening to. They did a live feed of this Blind Beer Awards, and very cool. You know, they've honed in their recipes, and for the Mischief IPA, I'd say it's a good beer. It didn't knock my socks off, but it was a 4-pack of 16-ounce cans, and price point was, I think it was like $11. Not bad. I would get this again. I know that they do other kinds of IPAs. I'm kind of curious. I kind of want to try more of what they offer, because if they're winning blind or becoming, you know, one of the highly rated guys in the blind beer tastings, then, you know, it's definitely worth trying again. I'm going to give them a 4. I think a solid brew. You know, props to CT Beer, and definitely would be interested in trying some of their other offerings as well.
I just noticed that every single brewery, well, except for Cigar City making their collaboration appearance before, all the other breweries are a new brewery on the show this week. Yeah.
Quick fun brewery that I've beer that I've drank the last 2 weeks. Mast Landing Brewing Company. My sister had brought down. They're distributed in Maine and Massachusetts. Maybe I'll find it before the end of the show.
What's the name of the brewery?
Westbrook, Maine. There you go. Mast Landing.
Huh.
Out of Westbrook, Maine. And my sister brought down the Gunner's Daughter, a 5.5% milk stout with peanut butter, coffee, and dark chocolate.
Woo! Wow!
Amen. Like going to church.
No way!
Yeah. So
peanut butter, dark chocolate, and coffee?
Yeah.
My gosh.
That's legit. So, shout out to Mast Landing Brewing.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out.
Mike.
Yeah, for me, the Against the Grain. Wow, this is your different. This is not your regular double IPA. And on that second series of sips, when it was warmer, the beer did actually get bigger. It tasted like Toby mentioned, like, oh, it's definitely a double IPA. When it was colder, you really couldn't even figure out what style it was. But as it got warmer, everything kind of stepped up. The flavors and the bitterness and everything just seemed like it got kind of elevated as it got a little bit warmer. I really liked it, though. I liked that it was different. I wasn't expecting that. You know, double IPA. Just, I'm gonna give it a 4 just because it was so different, but I think it's like, I mean, it was really solid as far as flavor goes. Really kind of interesting aroma, so yeah, I'm giving it a 4. Just for originality, you know?
Yeah, oh, for sure. I want to see if I can find some more stuff from these guys.
Yes.
I'm always looking, like, I remember when I went to GABF, the one time I went to GABF back in 2013, I was so excited. I went to the section where, like, all the southern breweries were, and I was like, ah, I never get,
hard to get, right?
Yeah, I never get any of these breweries, and here they are. I don't know if, well, I'm pretty sure Cigar City was there at the time, but there was all these, like, what's the turtle one? Was a Terrapin, yeah, from Georgia or something like that. Yeah, it was like breweries like that. I'm like, I don't get these out in California or Nevada. It's like, so excited. But yeah, so it's exciting to see, you know, breweries from Kentucky and Florida and stuff like that making it out to California. I think it's great.
That's cool. For my second beer this evening, the Riverwalk Citrobus. It was a pale ale, had the hops kind of an IPA, but it was really light. It was kind of like a, you know, hop juice kind of beer. This is kind of like a hop lover's lawnmower beer, you know. It had
it's jacked up is what you mean to say. It's jacked up.
Jacked up lawnmower beer. It's it had a really lemony hoppiness to it, but really kind of light. It's easy drinking. You want to take another sip, but it's got a whole hell of a lot of hops in it. It's good. I'm just kind of in a good mood right now. I kind of want to rate it higher than I probably should. I'm going to give it 3.5.
Alright.
But it's a very palatable pale ale, and it's definitely on the hoppier side of the pale ales, but still kind of a light crispness to you want to keep drinking it. So. Good job. That's
nice.
It.
That's it.
That's it.
Fancy that you drank it, Mike?
I can't say that it's fancy, but we went up to Lake Ossipee, New Hampshire, visit some friends, just kind of like half a day. It was like a couple hour drive. I grabbed some local beer. It's the 603 Brewery, which is the area code for New Hampshire, in southern New Hampshire. And I got the Winnie Ale, which is actually an amber, but for some reason that beer just kind of hit the spot on the campgrounds. Like, I didn't want another IPA. I wanted something local. I wanted something that was a little bit different. And this beer just kind of hit the spot for me. You know, it's just an amber ale, and it's called Winnie Ale, W-I-N-N-I. And, yeah, it was good. I wouldn't say that, you know, it was fancy or out there or anything. It was just...
It wasn't jacked up.
No, it wasn't jacked up at all. It was mellow, easy drinking, but you know, something a little different. Had a nice little sweet maltiness, but it was still nice.
Hit the spot.
Yeah.
Made you happy.
Around the camp, good campfire beer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Excellent. I'm telling you, these easy drinking beers are going to be a thing.
Yeah, the next thing, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't doubt it, you know. Because it felt like they were trying to get so big and so bad for so long, and now it seems like they are kind of backing off. All right, let's see. And then the session IPAs, kind of a wave of the session IPAs came, and yeah, I could definitely see that happen as far as beer trends go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to say too that it's not necessarily about. It's not about the beer all the time. Sometimes it's about that experience of when you're having that beer that can make all the difference as well. Maybe that beer wouldn't have been, I wouldn't have thought anything of it if I was, you know, doing something else, but just hanging out at the campgrounds there and just, you know, putting some stuff on the grill, just, I don't know, it just was the right beer at the right time.
Yeah, sometimes when I come home, I've been drinking, they used to be Bandit Horn Brewing, but now they're called Bandit Brewing. They're Pilsner. I've been coming home, and I brought a six-pack when I was up in Maine a few weeks ago. Just turn on the grill, grab a Pilsner. It's kind of a nice little moment to just enjoy, relax.
I do have to revisit some Pilsners and Lagers, because I would like to find more of it. And I get a feeling that that's going to be coming pretty soon, especially if some of these breweries start, you know, focusing on that kind of stuff.
Carl Strauss has a good Pilsner right now called Follow the Sun. I took it with me when I went to Joshua Tree National Park out here and took a cool photo of it at the campground. And they were stoked on it. They said they were going to use it on their Instagram. I don't know if they ever did, but... Shoutouts? You got any shoutouts? I got some shoutouts.
Yeah, okay. Shout them out.
Untapped shoutouts. Let me give a shout out to Phil Parrot, because he has an exclamation mark. David DeVore. Justin Cox. Bitsy with two T's. Bitsy. R. Alex. And Elita P. Elita P. And, of course, Jose Ortega and Tiffany Alvord and Charlie Thorston.
Tiffany and Charlie, a.k.a.
Yeah.
Chips and Guac.
Yep, Chips and Guac.
I'll say a quick shout-out. I mentioned them briefly before, but a new podcast that I'm also checking out is called FullPoursRadio.com. They're primarily Connecticut. They're Connecticut-based, and they've been... interviewing a lot of the newer breweries around the area, and like I said, they did an episode a couple weeks ago that had to do I mean, I thought it was awesome. You know, it wasn't very structured or you know, interviews or anything like that, but they did a live feed from the Blind Beer Awards down at the Blind Rhino in Norwalk, Connecticut. And the guys that are, you know, putting the show together, they're new. I've been doing anything. They've been, like, I think they started 8 months ago, looks like, 10 months ago, looks like. They only have about 20 episodes, and it's kind of good listen, you know. Usually it takes about an hour or so, but yeah, give them a try. FullPoursRadio.com.
I'm going to give a shout out to Patton Oswalt. Also, Bastogne Brewery. Todd Ahlstrom. Yep.
Todd Ahlstrom, huh?
Yep.
Wow. A shout out to the Ahlstrom brothers. Woo!
So, Andy Murphy.
Andy Murphy! Darkness!
Andy Murphy! Jeff Allworth. And.
Sam Calgioni. Greg Cook.
Gemma Wilson. And the Happy Hour Guys. That's good for me.
Oh, the Happy Hour Guys.
Yeah.
Rob Johnson from Craft Beer Guys. Cool. That's it. That's all I got.
All right.
That's it.
See you next time.
Our show for this week.
Sit your ass down. On the bus.
Citra, that's right. Join us again. Not sure when. But we'll be drinking beer. And there'll be some kind of theme attached to it of some sort.
It won't be our show. It'll be their show. Yeah. We're just going to be drinking it.
And since, I don't know if Tony was here when we said it, but this is our season finale for season 9.
Oh, yeah. Well,
and... next time we'll be
to bed.
Yeah, so next will be our season 10 premiere.
Wow, that's crazy.
And I don't know, we usually do, like, when we do the premieres, that's when we do, like, the number is the theme.
Oh, sometimes, yeah.
But in a year from now, we will hit our 10th anniversary, so I think that we should wait till next year, if we're still around.
Okay.
And do a 10 theme as our, like, 10 full years of doing the show.
Okay.
Our 10th anniversary.
I'm in. Okay. Challenge accepted.
We don't know what our season 10 premiere will be, but we keep talking about doing an NPR-style show, so maybe we'll work on that, but I have no idea what kind of beers to get that would fit in with the NPR theme.
Maybe we can throw in a, like, a collaboration show.
Yeah?
You know, in honor of a certain wedded bliss that'll be happening.
There you go. Yes.
There you go.
We'll do another collaboration show. Coming together.
Yes.
I picked up a beer just recently called Ninja versus Unicorn. That seems like something that we have to fit in there.
Yes.
Somehow. Because where the hell are you going to find a beer like that ever again? Ninja versus Unicorn.
Pipeworks. I've had that. That's good. All right. They do have great levels. Like the close.
All right, folks.
Close Encounters.
Yeah, I had that one just recently, too.
Cascadia.
It was a black IPA or something, I think.
That's funny.
Alright.
Alright, you guys. Good show.
Yes.
See you next time.
See you next time on the Beer Coasters Podcast.
Cheers.
Balls, America. Oh, yeah. Jeez.
Yeah, the can and the glass don't really cheers too well.
Or the two cans together.
Two cans together.
Two cans in.
Two cans in.
All on my nose. All right, Paul's America.
Thank you for joining us in this issue of Beer Coasters Podcast with a
us next week, right here on Rear Coasters.
Yeah, I got my judgy pants on.
You got pants on?
You don't want to use that word. Medicinal.
Well, beer is my medicine.
Alright, touche.
I definitely do enough self-medication.